Badrang poured himself a little more wine.
Fever, eh? That young mouse Brome, he must have brought it in with him. Pity, I was going to have some fun with those three, make an example of them. Still, fever is a good enough lesson to the slaves. Throw the wrongdoers in the pit where they'll catch the fever. What a clever idea. Slaves getting fever from slaves. They can't blame us for that, eh, Scowrag?
The fox laughed nervously along with his master. Badrang suddenly stopped laughing, leaving the other to carry on. Scowrag's thin giggle trailed away as the tyrant's eyes hardened.
I've just had another clever idea, Scowrag. If my fortress isn't finished by the end of summer, I might just throw a few of my captains in the fever pit to rot. That'd liven their ideas up. What do you say?
Scowrag could feel his paws beginning to shake uncontrollably.
A splendid idea, Lord.
Rose waited until the wall guard changed. There was a considerable interval when no beast was on the wall top, and she took advantage of this to sneak up to the fortress. Standing facing the centre of the gate, she measured out 20 paces to the south. Marking the wall with a piece of charcoal, she dodged back to the cover of the rocks. Grum was waiting for her. He nodded over to the X marked on the stones of the fortress wall.
Be that it, Miss Woser?
She nodded, watching him sizing the area up. Rose trusted Grum to do the job swiftly and silently. In all the country, there was no stronger digger than her friend. The mole scratched the tip of his button nose.
Yer, tain't easy, but tain't hard neither, miss. You'm see they rock over there.
It was another rocky outcrop, similar to the one they were hiding behind. Rose let Grum explain his plan.
That there rock be on straight line with thy marker. I'll start digging from there. That ways they vermin guarders on wall won't see us'ns. And you can spread tunnel dirt behind the rock.
The plan was perfect. It was but the work of a moment to slip from one rock to the other. Grum took one last look at the mark on the wall, muttering calculations to himself as he squinted at it. Then he held both his heavy digging paws to the earth and recited his good fortune charm.
Luck to I and every mole as ever went to dig an hole. Tunnel good for all I'm worth. Mole be best when digging earth.
Rose was amazed at his speed and strength. Grum went straight down in a shower of pebbles and sand, widening as he went. The mouse maid sat and waited. Digging a flat oatcake from their pack, she munched it and sipped cold mint tea from a canteen. Soon, Grum called out to her.
Do ye jump down here, Mizzy? Hurry now.
Without a backward glance, she leaped into the hole. Grum caught her easily and set her steady. She looked up as he rumbled.
Boar, that be exactly 2 mousy lengths.
He was right. It was exactly the height of 2 mice.
Yeah, stand on my head and climb out now, Rosa. No sense of you getting all dirty. What did your mamma and dad say if I brought you back all mucked up? Boar.
The mousemaid hopped out, assisted by Grum, and began strewing the rubble from the hole around as he dug steps in the side of it. Blowing sand from his snout, Grum eyed his work.
Nothing fancy, but he'll do, hurray.
He went straight to tunnelling through the bottom side of the hole in a direct line, faster than any 2 moles in the whole of Noonvale. Scowrag stood at the rear of Badrang's long hut, trying hard to stop his paws shaking after the interview with the tyrant. A bank vole was idly pulling up weeds that grew against the side of the building. The fox watched him for a while before calling to him.
Droop, over here.
The bank vole pretended not to hear, but worked his way along until he was close to Scowrag. The fox looked this way and that, making sure he was unobserved, as he spoke out the corner of his mouth.
Well, what's happening in the compound, matey?
I'm not your matey or any beast's,
Droop answered without looking up.
There's lots happening in the compound, but it'll cost you food and wine to find out.
Scowrag looked at his paws. They had steadied somewhat.
I know that. You'll find a roast fish and some wine here tonight, just under the corner there where it usually is. Now tell me what's happening.
I'm taking a chance doing this. If they ever found out, they'd kill me for sure. So I'd like a proper whole roast fish, none of your table scraps, and some of the dark damson wine the corsairs brought when they paid a visit.
Skalrag's eyes widened.
How do you know they brought damson wine?
You'd be surprised at what I know. Well, do I get proper food?
Yeah, yeah. Get on with it.
Skalrag chewed impatiently at a hangclaw.
Right, listen close now. There's three ringleaders. Hilgos, the old hedgehog, Bark John the squirrel, and that young otter called Keela. These three are urging all the slaves to steal fish, crops, and also tools from the quarry. Sharp stones, anything they can make into weapons. There's a plan of some sort to free Martin, Feldo, and another mouse from the prison pit. Keela's been doing something when he takes the food to the prisoners each night.
What's the plan? What's Keela doing? Why did I need weapons?
Still keeping his eyes down, Droop shrugged.
I don't know how they plan to get them out of the pit, and I'm not sure what Keela's up to. But the general talk is that when they're free, they'll be able to help from outside. Meanwhile, the others are collecting weapons against the day when they get a chance to strike back at Badrang and all of you. That's all I know. I've got to go now.
Skalrag placed a footpaw swiftly on Droop's neck, holding him still a moment.
You've done well, Droop. I'll make sure the fishing wine are the best. But find out more. I need to know more. When will I see you again, my friend?
The bankfall struggled loose of Skalrag's paw and hurried off.
I'm not your friend. I'll be in touch.
In the gloom of the prison hole, young Brome was getting very depressed after the initial euphoria of contact with the outside had faded. He began to speculate miserably.
Suppose they get caught outside the fortress. Where will we be then?
Feldo tried reasoning with him.
Don't be silly, Brome. Your sister and that mole aren't daft. They know what they're doing.
The youngster was silent a while. Then he started again.
They might have the directions wrong. Suppose Grum tunnels the wrong way. He could have missed this place by a few lengths. Just think of it. Poor old Grum. Digging and digging and getting nowhere while we sit down here twiddling our paws.
Martin gave Brome a light thump on the back.
Here now. What's all this gloom and doom for, young fella? You've already told us that Grum is the champion digger in all the country. Well, let me tell you, moles are amongst the most sensible beasts over or under land. If your friend Grum is a champion digger, why, I'd trust them with my life any day. So would you, eh, Feldo?
Before the squirrel had a chance to answer, a spear blade clanged on the grating above. The three friends looked up. They could not see clearly, but Skalrag's voice was unmistakable.
They say you've all got the fever down there. How'd you feel? Sick? Dizzy? Sweating? Not very nice, is it?
It doesn't hurt as much as the rock that I hit you with, mange nose.
Skalrag banged the grating with a spear angrily.
I've half a mind to come down there and run you through with my spear.
But you won't, will you? Because you're terrified of catching fever.
Skalrag thwacked his spear on the grating a few more times.
You're right, squirrel. I won't come down. But then nothing else will, and that means food or water. Ha! We don't feed useless mouths around here, nor do we play nursemaid to sick beasts. So you can all stay down here until you die and rot.
The fox swaggered off, proud that he had won the argument. Martin felt a tear from Brome's cheek as it damped his paw. He threw an arm about the youngster.
I don't know about rotting, but pretty soon he'll get a rotten surprise when he finds we're gone from here. Imagine the fox's face.
Brome managed to sniff and a smile.
Yes, and we'll be safe in Noonvale.
Martin began kicking the side of the pit wall. Feldo caught on and joined him. Their footpaws thudded away at the packed earth wall. Brome squinted at them in the darkness.
What are you doing?
Giving your mole friend a little help and guidance. He's probably very sensitive to underground noises. Take no notice of us, Brome. Tell us about Noonvale. Where do you live? What sort of place is it? Are the creatures nice? And is the food good? Go on.
As they listened, Martin noticed that Brome's heavy mood of sadness disappeared when he talked of his home.
Let me see. What sort of place is Noonvale? Well, it's a deep glade, far in the forests. A secret place, you might say. At dawn, the sunlight comes filtering like golden dust through the oaks and sycamores and elms. It is quiet. You can almost hear the sounds of peace. Light blue smoke drifts up from the cookhouse fires, mingling with the green leaves above. Soft mosses and dark green grass, carpeted slopes, and there are flowers. Columbines, foxgloves, bluebells, wood anemones, and ground ivy. Ferns grow there too. Sometimes I would lie among them at dawn, catching dewdrops on my tongue.
Feldo blinked back at her, surprised by the young one's eloquence.
Sounds like my kind of place, Brom. What about the creatures there?
The creatures? Well, there's my sister Rose and me. Our father is Urren Vo, chieftain of Noonvale, and our mama's name is Arya. We live with other creatures who have found Noonvale. Moles, squirrels, hedgehogs, even some otters. My father rules the Vale. He's always very kind, but sometimes he can be stern to naughty ones. You would like my mama, though. She is the best cook anywhere.
Martin almost forgot his aching paws as he thumped away at the wall.
Does she cook anything nice?
She cooks everything nice. Mushroom and chestnut stew, wild onion and leek soup, spring vegetable pasties, nut bread, oat fowl, wheat cob, all piping hot from the ovens. She bakes blackberry and apple tarts, plum maple pudding, elderberry pie with yellow summer cream, gooseberry preserved scones hot with buttercup spread.
Feldo massaged his shrunken stomach as he wailed aloud.
Stop! Stop! I can't stand it, all that beautiful food!
Mushroom and chestnut stew, plum maple pudding, oh my aching teeth!
Martin wiped a paw across his dripping mouth. Brom gave a loud chuckle as he mischievously continued, tormenting his hungry friends.
My father helps the moles and the hedgehogs. They brew all our drinks. Dandelion ale, strawberry cordial, chestnut brown beer.
Ooh, chestnut brown beer! Stop, you little fiend, stop!
Martin and Feldo beat their footpaws harder against the wall. Grum backed out of the hole, pushing a mound of earth before him. Rose cleared us away, helping them all out into the late afternoon sun.
You seem to be making good progress, Grum.
Rattling his digging claws against the rock to clean off the loose sandy soil, the mole blinked his eyes against the sunlight.
That I be, miss, were I. I be a-going the right way too, boor. They beasts be a-banging like two drummers at a winter fair, guiding I straight to em. It won't be long now, Rosa. Afore midnight, I'd reckon.
Rose wriggled excitedly.
Midnight! Wonderful! It should be fairly easy to get clear of Marshank under cover of darkness.